You and I are so important to God. He's shown how important we are by sending His Son, His Word. The honor of God's Word is so important to us and for us. You and I need to understand that for what Christ has done in our life, we need to honor the greatness of who God is, His only begotten Son. God lets us know that all Scripture is from Him. All Scripture has been given by the revelation of God Himself. Therefore, He lets us know that all Scripture is given for correction. What it will do for us as God corrects us. Please get out of the notion, if you can, the idea that God has a white beard behind a great big podium just waiting for you to make a mistake so He can zap you. That's not it, folks. For God so loves. And when you so love, the nature of giving is such a part of you. You latch on to the part that God wants you to catch on to. When you so love that you will allow them to laugh at you as you proclaim His truth and to let them know He loves you too. That's the so loving that God is talking about. Every one of us knows what hatred and bitterness and strife and anger can do, even to our own families, to our communities, to our churches, to our nation. Hurt, brokenness. Is there an answer? Does God really, really, really have an answer for the problems that you and I are going through? Now, I can read the Bible, many will say, and I understand the stories, as God is speaking to everyone but me. All the stories that are there, why, I could never be a part of that. I could never be a disciple. I would never, ever be a part of putting Jesus Christ on the cross. So we shall blame the Jewish nation. We shall blame the Romans. We will blame, well, let's blame America. You know what sent Jesus to the cross? The sin for every individual, you and me, that's ever been born because of sin in our life. Did you have anything to do with that original sin in our life? No. You're not that old. You didn't. God looks down upon us and He says, I'm going to give you. Oh, you remember the second chances? It's all your kids ever wanted. Was just one more time, Mom, Dad, a second chance. They never could count very well. Have you noticed that? Because every time it came up to it, just one more time. You know, I need that second chance. And you don't dare, as a parent, break it to them. You can't count very well because you love them, right? How much more are we loved? God so loved. God so understood us. Whew. You didn't think anybody would ever come along that understands you. Mom, Dad, you just don't understand. You don't have to go through what I'm going through. Yes, young folks, they did. That's why they're warning you. Because they love you and they know the hurt and the pain of going in the wrong direction. God wants us to understand that throughout our life, there may be several points in your life to where you're going to come to that crossroads, a crossroad of life. It's when you're really taking that inventory of what's inside of you, that crossroads. Well, how in the world will I know when I get to the point of the crossroads? You're at the crossroads of your life when your past is blocking your present. When your past is more on your mind than your present opportunity to choose the right road. God says, I'll let you know when you get there. Well, I can't serve the Lord. You don't know what I did. And please, I don't want to know. Talk to God about it. Your confession should be to God, not to a man or a woman, to God. Because God's the only one I found out in my life that can truly forgive me for so much that went on in my life. Many people will say, you know, I want to stand up and I want to confess all my sins before the church. Don't do it here. Confess your sins before Almighty God. He sent His Son to take care of it. Your debt, my debt, when our past is blocking our present, you're at the crossroads. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. Once again, remember about Jeremiah. 26 to 28 years he preached, never had a convert. You would think that after 26 to 28 years of preaching, somebody would have stood up and said, amen, Brother Randy. Amen. Somebody would have praised the Lord. Amen. That's why he cried. The weeping prophet. He was weeping for a nation that had turned its back on the only hope they had. Does that remind you of any nation? A nation that'll kick God, His name, His word out of the classrooms? You know what the big push is now? Kick God out of the church. You preachers, especially you Baptist guys and Pentecostals, are going to have to quit preaching hate. Christianity is not about hate. Christianity is forgiving those who hate us. Christianity is not about judging. Christianity is about accepting. And God says you're at the crossroads. And here's what he says of Jeremiah. Now how do I know God said this? Jeremiah 6 verse 16. This is what the Lord says. Good point, right? So what I'm getting ready to quote is what God says to Jeremiah. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. So many are looking for peace of mind. Did you ever say that? I'd just like to have a little peace of mind. It's not the peace of mind that will give you strength. It's the rest for your soul, the peace within that will give you that strength. And that peace can only come one way. His name is Jesus. He says, I want you to look at your history, for I want you to look. Ask for the ancient paths. Those who do not learn history will be destroyed by it. Look in the past, but only to learn from the mistakes of the past. The parents are there saying, don't do this, don't do this. There's no good end to it if you do. And the young people so often are saying, I got a right to choose my own way. You're such an old fuddy-duddy. They said that to the 20-year-olds and the 30-year-olds. For people my age, I am the ancient of times. Did you know if you look back on the roads of life that nations travel, Christianity has traveled, something will become very familiar to you. That familiarity that you're thinking about is, gosh, you know, I could read that scripture for what's going on in the today. Jeremiah, I can relate to you, Jeremiah, because we're repeating. How come we have to repeat the bad history? Why do we not look at that which was destroying a nation after nation and learn a lesson? We don't need to be doing this. It's the only time we cry out to God. It's when someone is ill on their deathbed. It's the only time we lift our heart to God in praise. It's when someone we love has been blessed by the healing of God. Would we not praise God if there wasn't any healing? If we will not praise God, focusing on the failures of our life, the hurt and the pain of our life, you will not praise Him for the joys of our life, because you will think you did it. You did it on your own. I'm a self-made man. I'm a self-made woman. Well, you weren't made too hot if you're self-made. You're going to fall. How do I know? Read the book. Throughout the Holy Scripture of Almighty God is story after story after story. Warning after warning after warning. If my people will. You know, if we'll ask forgiveness, the Lord says, you got it. Really? That sounds awful easy. Well, it wasn't that easy for Jesus. You agree? The freedom that you and I have been given by God, that He will always watch over us and protect us, has nothing to do with how good of a Christian you think you are. Many Christians that walk the closest with Christ are those you'll never hear them speak those words about how close they are. But I can tell you this, me, you, nor anyone else can walk so close to Jesus Christ that we have a right to break His law of love. If we break the law of love, which is the commandment, Jesus says, today I give you a new commandment. And this commandment's going to cover all of it. I want you to love your neighbor as I love you. Now, you remember all the stuff you know you've been forgiven for? Well, I remember a lot of it. Well, don't try to remember any more of it, because you'll have a relative or somebody that'll remind you of all the times you fell. Do you know Jesus won't? What sin are you talking about? So why is it that a Christian hurts so bad when they go the wrong path, when they sin? Because as a Christian, you're under conviction because of what you're doing. I know that feeling. If you weren't a Christian, you wouldn't care. Now, you listen to me on that. If you are not a Christian, you're not going to care about the Word of God. It's not going to bother you to continue in the wrong direction. We're given the opportunity to choose the right road at the crossroads. And let me tell you what's going to happen. The road of choice that I make at that crossroads is going to be the life or death of me. The life or death of me. Because it will be the choice for my future. for your future. You see, if my past is standing in the way of my present, all of that combined together will give us the answer to our future. Your future has to do with the road you choose. That's why, you know, and I keep saying it over and over again, people, you don't realize how hard you got to work to go to hell. Jesus has got his arms wide open. Come to me, for I'll give you rest. I'll give you the peace you're looking for. Whether there's healing in your family or death in your family, I'm here. My son is here for you. Talk to him. Matthew 7:13-14. Enter through the narrow gate. His name is Jesus Christ. You got it? His name is Jesus. One way. Why the narrow gate? Well, simply because when you get on the path with the multitudes, they got to have a wide gate to go through. And so often, so many choose to go with the crowd. Oh, Mom, Dad, I'm sorry. You know, I was just with the wrong crowd. Oh, gosh. And then finally the parent understands, you are the wrong crowd, son. You started that crowd. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. The global positioning system, GPS. Too many Christians, too many of us are hooked into the GPS of this world. God says, okay, I know the GPS period's coming. You, these people really think they got something on God? Well, I can, all I have to do to get in a vehicle, push a button and it tells me which way I'm going. Until my grandson says, Papa, can't you shut that woman up? We're going in circles. In Christ, it's God's positioning spirit. That's our GPS. God's positioning spirit. He's positioned there for you and me. I will let you know of what is true and what is not. That's a GPS you don't want to walk away from or to turn off. But many have. Why? Because when we get to the crossroads of life, too often we want to choose the easy path. The easy path, they say, is broad. Jesus says, do you want a path for your eternity that's going to give to you eternal protection, salvation, and love? It's all in a name. I go to heaven over who I know, not what I know. Jesus, he's the who. All in his name. Which road? Oh, but they think. You talking about that guy that they killed and put on by putting him on a cross and beat him and all of this? Are you telling me that I need to do the same thing? Have it done to me? No. Jesus already did it. So you and I don't have to. But what he is saying, do you know the gate there? Is Jesus. And that gate is called a gate of love. That wide gate is the gate of destruction for your life. Well, how do I know that? Put a little age on you and look back and you'll see. Somebody one day will slam that wide gate and you will be the one that gets hurt by it. The narrow gate, according to the scripture, deals with individuals, and ever so often we see they're sort of walking and enjoying that path called love, but few there will be But it doesn't have to be that way. And for those of you who think, boy, not many going to be in heaven, you're wrong. And I got this news for you also. There's going to be a lot of folk that would be in heaven that'd be surprised to see you there as much as you are to see them. It all has to do with who Jesus is. We have every different type of personality for a purpose. It's for the church. The purpose of my personality and yours was chosen by God. I cannot change that. Although the battle that is within you, that rages within when you get to the crossroads, you know, I have just, you know, I've battled my whole life. I'm tired. I just want to let them have it. I'm going to take the wide road. I'm going to go along with the crowd. Bad gait. Tell me this. How has going along with the crowd been to you over your life? How's the easy way? That easy way that you think is so easy, all that is trickery from Satan himself. All this is glamorous. Look at the lights of the big city. Lord, I just need to go to where the lights are. Now, you need to go to where the light is. You do not have to leave anywhere to find yourself. You're in there. Keep looking. I'm going to go over here and see if I can find myself. If you can't find yourself where you are, you're in a big mess, folks. Do you know why so many say, I don't want to open my heart to Jesus? Every time an individual says yes to Jesus, Jesus turns the light on. Oh, I didn't know I looked that bad, Lord. Think about it. Think about sin that's in our life. Think about how sin affects our human condition. We're miserable. And yet, we have a Savior that loves us so much, He says, whosoever will, won't you come? You see, the crossroads of life is a gift for us. I cannot count the number of times I've been to the crossroad. I cannot count the number of times I chose the wrong road. But I can count for you this. The one time that I said yes to Jesus and the one time He said, you're mine. Jesus knows my name. It doesn't matter whether what you call the important people know who you are or not. Because people are never as important as they try to convince everybody else they are. It's the person that loves so much. How many times have I heard at funerals children saying, I wished I had done more for mom or dad. I wished I hadn't said what I said before. I didn't know they were going to die or I'd have never said that. How about looking at it this way? If it's going to hurt, don't say it. What good are you doing? What good do you do someone that you love so much that you want to tell them or have a fight with them or an argument and then all of a sudden the phone rings and they're not coming home anymore because the Lord was there? As Christians, God says that He pays attention. And do you not know, He said this through Isaiah, do you not know that the righteous die? And so many say, why? Do you not understand that the righteous die so I can protect them from the evil to come? God said this is the reason for it. When Stephen, the first martyr, at the time of his death, when they were stoning him to death, what's he doing? Randy Kidder acts like him all the time. What's he doing? He's hooping and hollering and saying, I see Jesus, and He's standing at the right hand of God, the Father. Only place in Scripture you will ever find where Jesus is standing. Stephen stood up for Jesus, refused to disavow his name. And it gives us the picture. I see Jesus standing. Woo! Jesus was standing in honor of the man that stood for him. Knowing he's giving his life. You know, I can never picture stones coming at me and hitting me in all different directions that I would say, praise the Lord. But Stephen did. You know why? He never felt a thing. Jesus was looking at him. And Jesus says to him like he says to us, when you express your love to me, count it as though you're already here. All they saw was the physical body. Jesus said, Stephen, come on home, you good and faithful servant. It was Jesus who said that my saints, my teachers, my preachers were treated so poorly and bad. And he says, the world did not deserve to have them preach my word to them. The world did not deserve. But he still calls us to do it. You and I are going home, folks. But we're going to one of them. It has to do with the road, the path, the person. His name is Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we praise your holy name and ask for your special touch upon each one that's present, those who are listening. Father, we have so many young babies coming into our church family. Father, I pray that it will be your protection that will surround them. Give us the wisdom, Father, to love them with all our being and to protect them through your power, making certain they always hear your word. We ask that blessing now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.